Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
High noon on a Patriots Monday. On a Tuesday, day after Labor Day. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We got a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. Stay tuned for that every Tuesday. And every Tuesday at high noon, we talk to Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom E. Curran, welcome back to Jones and Keefe. What's going on?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very good.
We're doing great. We've had some good Patriots interviews under our belt today, Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis. So you can add to that here, Curran. We've been talking a lot today about news that broke on Friday that we had a chance to react to a bit on Friday, the release of Jabril Peppers. We've heard Vrabel discuss it a couple of different times. We asked Ellis and Henry about it. I'm curious your understanding on why they decided to move on from Peppers when they did.
Well, they didn't give a really defined reason, and Mike dismissed the notion that it was scheme-related from the podium yesterday, but certainly he's probably not one of their best 53 players. He's probably one of the best 12 players on the football team as a football player. So if you don't want him there, that must mean that he has a physical limitation to doing what you're trying to ask him to do, which to me, that feels like a scheme fit. So he's a bigger safety. He does come downhill. He's a violent hitter. If they want their safeties to be more in space, that's not really his game anymore. He probably could do it. I mean, he was their best player in 2022 and 2023, in my opinion, on either side of the ball. So he could probably still do it. But I think the fact that they want people who are faster than Jabril is, and also the fact that he's probably not going to deal well with being a backup, would probably be reasons that the Patriots would say, you know what, he's a proud guy, he's still a good player, let's give him an opportunity to get out there and play someplace else.
Yeah, because my sort of Keefspiracy on this whole thing was we were so focused on Kyle Duggar, he's going to get cut, he's going to get traded, whatever, and then makes the team, then they get rid of Peppers. I feel like both guys probably received the same news that, hey, we're going to go with Hawkins and Woodson primarily at safety. Duggar probably said, okay, and, you know, I'll still show up and I'll still do my job, whereas Peppers perhaps reacted to it differently.
I don't know that to be the case, but yeah. I would say, too, if you're looking at both of these guys and you're paying $9 million in salary to Kyle Duggar and $4 million to Jabril Peppers, that's $13 million of guys standing there clapping with their helmets off.
Yeah.
You know, there should be a cost-saving measure there if you're not going to use them. I would. So I probably should have mentioned that, and Phil Perry mentioned that yesterday. It's a good point. Okay, so you're not going to be able to save the $9 million with Duggar. Does that still mean you just keep both of them sitting there for $13 million? I mean, $13 million buys you a nice player. So move on.
I'm curious, and Vrabel's distanced himself from this a couple of different times, both with you guys yesterday and this morning on the Greg Hill Show, that it's a concerted effort to move on from the leadership of Mayo and Belichick. Do you think that was a factor in what Vrabel's trying to do, get his guys in and move on from the leadership and some of those players from the last couple of years where they were a four-win team?
Yeah, that was a question that I asked him yesterday, and he said that there was no move afoot, and it's just – it. Okay, I'll take him at his words, and it's a wild coincidence that Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones, David Andrews, Joe Cardona, Devon Godshaw, Jabril Peppers, Kyle Duggar was on the block, Anthony Jennings was on the block. All of these guys were among their better players. Not a good team. Not a good team for several years running, two in particular. But I still think that there's, you know, NFL relevance. But, you know, what has the league done with Juwan Bentley? Ignored him. And that was another guy that they let go of. So it is interesting. I think if you want to get better, then you have to look with very clear vision as to whether or not these guys are good players or and replaceable. So they've made that decision, I guess, with a lot of them who also had good leadership skills and were the kind of guys you wouldn't mind having as a next-door neighbor, but they don't want them on the team.
Yeah, speaking of leadership, the six captains were announced yesterday. Drake May, Robert Spillane, Hunter Henry, Marcus Jones, Harold Landry, and Brendan Schooler. Anything jump out to you about who was or maybe who wasn't named captains?
Yeah, no offensive lineman was a surprise to me, especially with Morgan Moses and really his demeanor since he's been here has been very he's been very interested in bringing guys together and sending a message as a 34-year-old veteran. And Milton Williams, I think, has kind of walked the walk, at least talked the talk. I can't say until the season begins whether he is walking the walk. But he's talked the talk, certainly, as a high, big-ticket free agent signing. It opened my eyes at Harold Landry, who was kind of an afterthought free agent signing. You know, no major needle mover, becomes a captain. And the big thing doesn't surprise me. It feels like he's a temp. So I don't understand.
He was a captain in Houston, you know, and that felt maybe similar. But, yeah, I get it. I'm not, like, overly shocked by it by any means. But, yeah, it was of note. He's definitely one of their veteran guys.
Yeah, he's one of their veteran guys. But do you want everybody doing things exactly as Stephon Diggs? Follow that guy. He's got the perfect lead.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a unique guy. So and it's very clear, too, and this goes back to the question about the leadership. They've worked very hard to make sure that Drake May has every opportunity to assume the throne as the leader of the team. You know, from moving on from Joe Milton to Mike Vrabel making concerted efforts to say, go talk to them, go lead those guys, go, you know, make sure that you're on this stuff, to making sure he's the captain. You've seen it time and time again. So I think he's equipped to embrace the role, but they're very, I think, intent on making him the point of the spear.
That's this week's Drake Take by Tommy Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tommy,
are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
That's awesome.
That's your Drake Take.
How about that?
Drake Take.
Yeah, right on there.
Yeah.
How about that? Every week, Tom, get ready for it.
Yeah, you better have a Drake take ready to go.
Yeah, we're going to need some Drake takes every single week. On Morgan Moses, is that a reason to read into? I hadn't really thought about this, so you brought it up. Is that a reason to read into, like, I don't want to say his security on the roster, he's here, but his
availability?
Yeah, his role as a starter or his availability, to Keith's point? Like, was that a hedge in any way about Morgan Moses on the field, in your view of it?
That didn't register with me, so I'm going to have to go no, and I'll be more surprised than you if it does have a reflection.
Okay, what about Steph Diggs?
I was
surprised he specifically, I'm sorry if you had more there, but I was surprised Diggs also wasn't given a token leadership role there on the team.
I'm just not. I don't know why you would do that. He's a temp, in my estimation, until proven otherwise. It's a marriage of convenience between the two sides. If they want to have something lasting and more beautiful, then perhaps 2026 can be the time. But, you know, given his off season, I don't know if you want to reward a guy with a leadership role. And it's voted on by the players, certainly, too. So they're reading that group as well. But there's, you know, Hunter Henry's the only skill position player. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The only skill position player. No running backs.
Nope.
Stevenson, I think, has been a captain in the past. So, it's very interesting to see who ends up being the captain, but Vrabel tried to underscore everybody can lead. You don't need to have a C on your chest.
How would you view sort of the ceiling and the floor for this offense? You know, like if you, like the best case scenario would be what would like sort of the worst case scenario be?
The ceiling, I think, would be, oh boy, it's not that high. It really isn't.
You got a duck.
The ceiling is the floor.
Yeah, you got a duck right through.
It's not that. Yeah, no, it's not cathedrals by any stretch.
No.
It's the ceiling would be extremely efficient 2003 style Patriots offense. That would be the ceiling.
Okay.
They just don't have enough skill position players who I look at as being tremendously durable that you're going to be able to roll out there on the regular. They do have three very good running backs. They have two good to very good tight ends. They have an offensive line that I think will be adequate if guys don't get hurt. But they just don't have skill position players to make anybody say, wow, that's what are we going to do with? Look, DeMario Douglas is, knock on wood and hope it's not serious, he's going to get dinged up. He's too small to not, and he's going to get the ball too many times. Stephon Diggs probably isn't going to play 17 games. Efton Chisholm is not ready to, you know, be a 95-target guy or a 70-target guy or be in the Danny Amendola role. So, to me, Kayshawn Booty is the most sturdily built guy in the group. So to me, I look at that group and say, they're just not good enough to have a high ceiling. What's the floor? The floor will be dictated by Drake May and the offensive line, simply. Mm-hmm. And I think May is physically and mentally ready to ascend, not to ascend to, you know, Justin Herbert level. That's a good middling, lower elite quarterback, but at least ascend to highly capable, still prone to dumbness.
I imagine
that's not the Drake's pick.
No. We already
saved some for next week.
Use them all for this week. That's true. I imagine the ceiling for the defense is a little higher with Christian Gonzalez out there. What's your understanding with his timeline for a return? And it was interesting to hear Vrabel over the last couple of weeks reference his contract. He seemed frustrated at one point in the recovery process. So how are the Patriots feeling about Gonzalez and his recovery?
I can't imagine they're psyched. Whether they blame Christian Gonzalez for it or not, seemed like Mike really labored to make sure that he was not misunderstood as being frustrated during yesterday's press conference. He used the word frustrated. Andrew Callahan from the Herald circled back and said, are you frustrated with Gonzalez? Said, no, thank you for allowing me. I just used the word frustrated in terms of Christian becoming frustrated with himself. So maybe they're not frustrated to an extent of what's he doing over there. It's more perhaps we really wish that that player was available and he's not. But to me, there's the difference between 100% and good to go. And good to go might be less than 100%. And if Christian Gonzalez is better than Alex Austin at 85%, and I don't even know that he's 85%. You know, we're not getting injury reports. We're not having the opportunity. They're not talking about injuries with us. That hasn't changed. So that's the question. Is Christian Gonzalez waiting till he's 100%? Or is he going to be blood and guts? Once I can get out there, I just put a splint on it. I'll run around with that on. I kind of highly doubt that. And that was, to me, if you scrolled back and listened to the answer that Vrabel gave the first week of training camp when asked about Christian Gonzalez, he talked 0% about Christian Gonzalez, the football player, and completely about every person here has to understand that there is a place where we meet, where you sacrifice for the team and give for the good of the team. And we also work to make sure that you're advancing your personal gain, brand, and business. So that was the answer given to a question about Christian Gonzalez, which is one of the only reasons that I keep wondering, is there more to it than a bad hamstring? And is it protecting future investments, which all players should do? Mm-hmm. But there does become a gray area in that decision as to, okay, am I good enough to help this team out? Or everybody gets the conversation. I'm going to shut up.
You've covered Josh McDaniels for many, many years. Is this game going up against the team that fired him a couple of years ago? Like, is he looking at this super motivated, or is McDaniels somebody that's like, this is week one of a 17-game schedule?
I think he's got so much history over the course of time, even at his young age, that he probably won't look at that as, I'm going to try and go get even with the Raiders. I really do. I don't think that would be a motivating factor for him. And you know what? I mean, sadly, he kind of had it coming to him. It was not going great out there.
No.
The team was not heading in the right direction for whatever reason. But I would imagine that that's low on his priority list. However, we get access to him on Thursday, so we'll ask him.
Oh, very good.
Oh, nice. We'll look forward to that. Did you catch any of Bill last night?
Caught a bunch of Bill.
What'd you think? It was a good start.
Did you stay longer than most of the fans in the stands?
Yeah, I hung in there. Yeah. I hung in there, and I watched the post-game press conference in its entirety.
Me too.
Boy, did they make him dangle. Stacey would have cut that mess off 15 minutes earlier. Look, he's got 70 new players. But what's interesting to me about this is, you know, okay, what am I thinking? What's the thought that I walk away with? In Bill We Trust worked here because he built the trust beginning in 2003 with Lawyer Malloy, extending through all those, what did he just do? Decisions, and then bad things would happen. 2003, they lose 31-0 in the opener and release Lawyer Malloy, and they get beat by Drew Bledsoe. And by the end of the year, they're beating Buffalo 31-0 and then winning a Super Bowl. And that's where In Bill We Trust came. Really didn't exist that greatly prior to that. You know, he had a great year in 2001. But he hasn't done anything yet except bring, honestly, a level of embarrassment to North Carolina because of the off-field stuff that has gone on. And then with the great unveiling, they get their ass kicked up between their ears. And to me, if you're a professor or a dean who's already irritated about the sports ball coach making $10 million and bringing the fine university into a level of at least embarrassment, you are saying, what are we in this for again? So he's going to have to really make some hay against UNC Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the schedule opens up for him a little bit in the coming weeks. I kind of feel like it's a one-and-done scenario, and I thought it was, even as this offseason played out and he was, it was sort of like an embarrassment or a PR nightmare after the next, then it got kind of quiet. Then you take the field, you're the only game in town, and you get blown out at home. It might be a long season for him, and you mentioned 70 new players. Well, if he does come back for year two, it's probably 70 more new players. That's just sort of the nature of college football now, and so I think this is it. I think he, maybe as well as the school at the end of the year, are going to be like, all right, we tried, and then kind of move on.
Yeah, it's. I would say that is certainly high on the list of possibilities, one and done. I don't think he's going to be getting back to the NFL if he can't cut it at North Carolina with his coaching, and it's going to be a lot harder to reach kids than it was young men when he would reach them with the Patriots, with on to Cincinnati or any level of irritations. These guys are going to be hearing it on social media. Your team sucks. You suck. That guy's too old. And it's different than it was in 2003 when Lawyer Malloy was released. Put it mildly.
Yeah. Okay. He's Tom E. Curran every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. We call it Tom E. Tuesday. You can check him out. NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Tom, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Tom E. Curran and his Drake takes here
yeah,
every
few.
Tuesday.
He has some room to spare there.
He sure did. It yeah. was a strong take. You can discuss on the phone, 617-779-7937. That's also your text line. We have a Kiefer Madness for you at 1245. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. We'll follow up on some of the Jabril Peppers discussion there and why the Patriots decided to move on when they did. That's next.
Okay, thank you. Bye.